Hello, can we have silence? We start now with the next panel. Please. Okay, I have the honor to introduce the panel four, which starts now, which is on the frontiers of science, space exploration and thermonuclear fusion and nuclear energy, considered as new economic platforms. Because new science and new technology is not only some gadget, it means the basis for a new society. So we have today three interesting speakers here. We will start with, first we will have two speakers which will introduce us into the space technology of tomorrow, which is the use of satellites and other space cooperation. First, we will have Monsieur Alain Gachet, who is Ingénieur des Mines, who worked for over 20 years for the oil companies, and who is now somebody who got many rewards in the United States, worked for NASA, and he's now the president of Radar Technologies International, based in France, specialist of radar technologies and oil and water research. The second will be Mr. Sandow, who is also a specialist of satellite applications and who worked for the International Academy of Astronautics. And then we will hear Madame Adeline Jouty, who worked for the Africa sector of the International Atomic Energy Commission and who currently worked as a independent consultant in Vienna. So, Mr. Gachet, please can come if the technical setup is ready.
Good afternoon. I am not involved in politics at all. And I'm just a scientist. And I'm going to tell you a very, very strange story, a true story that happened to me, which started almost 15 years ago. You know, all these figures, 1.1 billion people don't have access to clean water today. And 5.3 billion people, two-thirds of the world's population, will be living in an area of severe water stress by 2050. You have heard of climate change? That is not something new. We can feel it very seriously today. All the water tables in the world are regressing, going below, lower and lower. And we have a fantastically growing population. So climate change and growing population means rising water demand and shrinking water supply. This figure is something that humanity has never seen before, has never experienced before. During the beginning of humanity, roughly 5 million person, 10,000 before Christ. Growing after the invention of agriculture to 250 million people, you know, around Jesus Christ period. Then suddenly, just at the end of the 19th century, we had a sharp rise, which has no precedent in the history of mankind. How are we going to deal with that? It's a kind of paradigm that the Schiller Foundation likes. We're going to see what can we do, because the key to human evolution is to convert difficulties into opportunities. And we are extremely fortunate because according to the computation of the NASA, since they are observing the Earth by satellite during they've been observing the Earth by satellite during these last 30 years, they have understood that all the water consumed by human beings until now, is this little bubble. Means humanity has been developing on lakes and river mainly, but the real bulk of fresh water is below the surface of the Earth, is underground. And it is 33 times bigger than all the water quantities we have been consuming up to, until now. So that's a great luck for humanity, for the future. This is a water for the future. But where and how to find it? That is a challenge. In fact, I am from the oil industry. I have nothing to do with water. You know, water is not quoted on the stock market. Water has no value except when you die of thirst. It's what I understood in my job. So I was working for an oil exploration project for Shell in the desert of Libya. When I discovered, this is the desert of Libya, when I discovered on the same image using radar, this is optic, this is radar from 800 kilometers high, I discovered this monster. It's a monster. Using radar, we know that radar is sensitive to moisture, soil moisture, and surface roughness. This is surface roughness, which is bright, but the bright here, the brightness, is a response of a big leakage of water coming from a big pipeline. This is the result of a great man-made river operated by Gaddafi several years ago. This was a big project, and the leakage occurred somewhere here. So it was a pure accident in my oil exploration program that I discovered this image. So it gave me the idea, this is the size of the pipe, it gave me the idea of finding water, underground water, using radar. Just a simple idea, just from an accident. But the main problem, jumping from optic image to radar image, yes, so we need radar to find water underground. But on this image, you have two effects. Effects of surface roughness, means rocks, boulders, all the houses and the metallic pieces of the rooftops and so on, and moisture. The main goal is to get rid of the surface obstacles to pinpoint only moisture in order to be able to detect something deeper. So that was a real challenge. And combining images from space, geophysics, geology, and whatever we know from the Earth, and first eliminating the roughness effect by a special algorithm, mathematical algorithm, just to maintain the response of humidity here, linked to an aquifer which is deeper. So this took me 2 years of intensive work, and when the algorithm has been invented, few weeks later, the Darfur crisis, you know, burst in February 2004. So I was called by the UN, UNHCR in Geneva, because they knew about the work I was achieving, and they told me, Alain, we have something like 250,000 people. Escaping Sudan, this is the border, this is the border between Sudan and Chad. We have 250,000 persons which escaped Sudan, and we try to put them in camps. We spend millions of dollars to truck water to these refugees, can you help us finding water to help these people? I said, I don't know. I never experienced it. I just invented a system now. Let us see from the desk. We are going to jump from the desk to the ground and to see if we can do something. So this is a radar image that everybody can have of all Sudan, this all Darfur. Look at the scale here. It's a big area, 400 kilometers by almost 400 kilometers here. So it's 200,000 square kilometers. We are 3 million persons now, displaced persons in camps. What can we do to help them? So the system allowed me to jump from this image to this image. It's exactly the same. We jump from this image to this image. Now we see 20 meters underground by this special algorithm, filtering algorithm. And we see a broad network of underground rivers. And if they are bright, it means that water is there. Moisture is there. Moisture is indicating big water system working underground. So we cannot let these people die of thirst when we see such beautiful things. But now we have to prove it on the ground. And when you would land on the ground, you change completely your life. You become a refugee yourself. You know, no protection, and you're exposed to any kind of threat. It's a completely different atmosphere, I would say. And, of course, you are exposed to dangers. Permanently exposed to dangers. I was protected by the UN, peacekeeping forces. And only for one guy, they had to deploy all this armada. And the result, 1,700 wells have been drilled in 2 years. With a success rate jumping from 33 to 98%. Enough water to save 33 million persons, not only three, 33 million persons, and we save half a billion US dollar in water trucking. And I must tell you, this is the result of a dream. You know, once I saw this leakage in Libya, I told to myself, if you can solve the issue of removing all surface obstacles to detect only moisture effects, you cross a kind of gate, you cross a curtain, and you discover another world on the other side. So I was more and more involved in the water, and especially again in 2011. A very, very bad drought struck the Horn of Africa, affecting 33 million persons between Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia. I must say that just before in 2007, the same drought affected the northern part of Syria, destroying the economies, destroying the cattle, destroying the crops, impoverishing the people that rushed to the cities to try to find a solution. And that was the beginning of the Arab Spring, probably linked to this phenomena. But this massive, massive drought, it was really hell, and arrived just a few months later to map the geology of this area to try to find water. It was in this area, near South Sudan, Ethiopia, Uganda, and Kenya, what we call Turkana area. Again, a very desperate situation. And when I was asked to try to find water there, I was desperate. Look at this image. Everything is dark. No, absolutely no water. The water here is brackish. Now, we had to find water there. You have a big refugee camp called Kakuma with almost today 200,000 persons. First, we had to ensure them that they had enough water. So I had to map the geology of this area to prove to the UN that the Kakuma refugees had enough water. That was first case. But when I covered all of that, I discovered something much more important than the refugees of Kakuma. First, I jumped from this image. This is an optic image. We jumped from the specially processed image, removing roughness, and we discover black holes. When we see black holes, it's a good sign. It means that water is so deep, water is coming there, and it vanishes somewhere in the middle. It means that it has been absorbed underground. So this could offer us good opportunities of finding deep water. And the deep water, using geophysics and other geological data, we could convert this image into this one. Five big targets. Just targets. It's a concept. Using this technology, we drift to a concept. This area is the size of half Belgium. Never drilled. Never drilled. Never drilled near Lodwar, the capital of Turkana. Probably something like 10 billion cubic meters. 200 billion cubic meters. Two times the size of Lac Léman in Geneva. Never drilled. So, and here it looks like that. Very, very desert. And when I asked to drill there, the UN told me, Alain, you are crazy. Say, yes, I may be crazy, but this dream, if we find water, it will change completely the game in the area. So we have to go ahead. The price, the cost should be the price of one well. One well down to 400 meters. This is deep water. And I had some echographies from oil companies. The fact that I've been working in oil is very helpful. From these seismic cross sections, I had the conviction that there was a potential to store underground water there, combined with the black holes of the radar image. And I found the water. It was there. $200 billion of cubic meters of water, fresh water, was waiting for us. This woman had to walk 40 kilometers every day to feed the cattle, to feed the kids, you know, and brackish water. Now, under these immensities, where I was called crazy guy to drill, there is serious, very important potential. Now let's go around Lodwar. Lodwar is the capital, hosting 10,000 persons, and the capital of poverty, capital of dust, of dirt, where women were scavenging the trash at the entrance of the town to feed their kids. I discovered Lodwar is here, a big structure, a black hole, but to drill here. Only 5 kilometers of the town. Nobody had the idea to shift and to drill there down to 100 or 200 meters. Oh. Can we activate? I'm blocked. Yes, next one. Okay. And the seismic again gave me a very important trough where a lot of water could be stored, something like 10 to 12 billion cubic meters of fresh water, down to a depth of 200 meters only. The basin is 4 kilometers deep, so it gives you a very, very important potential. And water was there again. These children have never seen fresh water in their life. Never. Now we have jumped from hell to prosperity. The women that were scavenging the trash, now they have their own lot. They can feed their children. And this water restores their dignity. They have now animals. They can feed the animals. They get milk from the goats. Now they can save their families. They don't need any kind of international assistance, which the government now has just to pay enough well to produce the wealth. The wealth is there underground. And it is massive. This wealth is massive, and this water is replenishable, which is very, very important. All of that is replenishable resources. Last chapter, Iraq, the most difficult part. I started to discuss with the Iraqi authorities 5 years ago, and during the time of al-Maliki. Again, I am blocked. Okay, sorry. So the water program in Iraq has been funded by the European Union under UNESCO leadership and operated by company. I don't know where Minister Maliki is here, but anyway. So we decided to cover all Iraq. Now it's not a small part like Turkana. Now all Iraq, it was a big piece to swallow. A lot of pixels. You know, each pixel covering Iraq is 6.5 meters. So we have an extremely high resolution of all Iraq. As I told you, radar is very sensitive to roughness. Here is the roughness of all the rooftops of Baghdad, Mosul, Erbil, Soleimani, somewhere Anbar, Rudba, and here down you see the Euphrates, the Tigris. It's a mixture of moisture and roughness. Now let us remove the roughness just to see what is the state of moisture of all Iraq. Here we are. It's a kind of image that you have never seen before. It's completely new. It means that now you see the moisture, the soil moisture content of all Iraq down to 20 meters. There are many consequences. First, immediate one. If you want to plant trees, if you want to restore vegetation, never go in the black areas, because black means the water is deeper than 20 meters. So the roots of a tree will never reach any water unless you feed them. You see, Tigris and Euphrates, they look ridiculous. They look ridiculous because the Turkish has cut, you know, with all the dams have cut the water supply. But look at that, Kurdistan. And we could extend it to Syria. I had not the budget to do that. But imagine what you have in Syria. Imagine that. Al-Anbar, completely desert. I'm sorry, it's not that desert. There is some kind of patches of humidity. So we are still trying to understand where this humidity comes from, because it doesn't come from rivers. Rivers never flow here. It comes from underground, very deep underground. Now, from this image, we have all the keys for the future reconstruction of Iraq. I speak only of Iraq because I just studied Iraq. But you know, imagine the consequences for the rest of the region. Because this land, I come back here. I just focus here around Jebel Sinjar, on the near Syria. Huge plains, beautiful land, good soil. They can grow wheat. But no, the fields are abandoned because of the war. The silos. That has to be restored. We can put an end to the end of the world. This is the state of Sinjar city. 300,000 persons lived there, completely destroyed. So for me, there are no desperate situations without solution. We must always remember that in life, you don't have problems. You have questions and answers. So this new vision of the world reveals unknown groundwater resources. It leads decision makers to prioritize their objectives, allows planning post-conflict reconstruction, quick and accurate action of great efficiency. The accuracy of this image is the size of the pixel, 6.5 meters. We know exactly where to go. So new space technology can change the groundwater geopolitical balance, but we should never forget that science must remain above all to the service and progress of humanity. Thank you very much.